everyone. This is Andrea Warner with SEObrainTrust.com, and we want to thank you all so much for being here today for a pretty special webinar. We want to make sure that everybody knows where the question box is, so go ahead and open it up and say hello and maybe tell us where you're calling in from. We'd love to have that information. It's just fun to see where you are in the world. And on the line today, we've got the co-founders of SEO Brain Trust. So Dan Thies, can you say hello?
Hello, everyone.
All right, fantastic. So we're here today for a webinar with Yost DeVault from Yost.com, and it's called WordPress SEO, and it pretty much doesn't get better than this. Yost, we're so happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. At least I hope it will be.
Yost has saved me countless hours over the years because instead of having to explain how to do SEO with WordPress, I just tell them to read his site.
Yeah. Well, keep doing that.
Yost is also the author of several WordPress plugins that I'll just bet a lot of you already use. And Yost, you're saying that you've already got 2 million downloads for your WordPress SEO plugin?
No, 2 million users, actually. I've got about
7 users. Wow.
I've got about 7 million downloads across my plugins. My Google Analytics plugin is probably still the most popular one at 2.5 million or so, but my WordPress SEO plugin, which is relatively new, is closing in fast. It's almost at 1 million now.
That is incredible. That is a lot of people in the world that you've helped.
Yeah, it's sort of weird sometimes.
Yeah, seriously, when you think about it. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into your presentation. And if you have questions, go ahead and type full questions into the box, not just partial ones. And we'll get to them maybe during and hopefully afterwards. We'll take some questions as well, too. All right, so take it
Absolutely.
Away, Yost.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. I'm going to go through one of my several slide decks about this topic. If there's anything specifically that I'm not addressing that you have questions about, do feel free to ask somewhere during the next couple of hours or minutes. For those of you who don't know me, this is pretty much me. I studied theology and international business and management, which makes me into a marketeer. And I do a lot of coding and geeking. I'm not a nerd because I can't actually talk, but other than that, I'm pretty much the stereotype, I guess. That's my site if you haven't seen it. And if you haven't, I strongly urge you to go there after this. And this is what I do. I've always been told by several friends in the SEO industry that it's quite dangerous to show your rankings to a group of other SEOs because they all try to take it from you. Well, I dare you all.
That's awesome. Good luck, right?
I've been there for 4 years strong. I wish you all good luck. So that's what I do an awful lot of. I, of course, do an awful lot of other things as well, but they're not really relevant to what we're talking about today. This is what I wanted to touch upon. Some of it will be basic, some of it will be fairly advanced. Don't fall asleep. That's the only thing I can say. One of the things I find when I'm talking to people about WordPress and SEO is that everyone seems to think that they can just keep on throwing out posts and never ever run into issues. Usually they'll have like two categories in which they have 200 posts each, or 200 categories with one post in each category. And that's not the way to do it. A proper site, whether it's on WordPress or on any other sort of CMS, should have a bit of structure to it. And what I always say is that it should be like a pyramid, which means that your homepage is the top of the pyramid and you slowly trickle down with your more important pages towards the top and your least important pages towards the bottom. But you have a structure which links to each other and makes it into one really solid structure. You'll hear me say that word an awful lot of times because I just think it's the basis of SEO that a lot of people forget. So the way to do structure in WordPress is taxonomies. These are either categories or tags or custom taxonomies. And there's an awful lot of power in that that not a whole lot of people use. It's these tiny boxes on the right-hand side when you're writing a post that are really, really actually very important. So if you have a category page and you're thinking about how to categorize your content, I always tell people to pick like between 5 and 8 different categories for their blog posts and then try and make those a bit generic. So for my blog, they're WordPress, SEO, analytics, stuff like that. As soon as you've got that covered, you can then do the fine tuning with, for instance, tags. So I have specific tags for stuff like WordPress hosting or WordPress plugins, but those are specifically not categories. They're tags, which I use to make a more granular sort of structure. I don't care whether you do it that way or you find another system with categories and subcategories or whatever, as long as you think about it and do it all the way through across your site. It doesn't really matter which strategy you pick here, as long as you pick one and make sure you use it everywhere. I can't stress the power of custom taxonomies enough, though. It really, really is a very cool tool to do very cool things. I work with a couple of pretty big newspapers that are in the process of switching to WordPress. And when you add taxonomies for instance, people, the power you get, if you consider a blog that would write about, or a news site that would write about politics, they'd normally have categories about for all certain sorts of topics like economics and foreign policy, etc. And then add a taxonomy that says just people, and that makes them link stuff to, for instance, all stuff about Obama, or all stuff about whatever that weird Republican candidate is that thinks a whole lot of weird things about Holland.
Okay, now you have me wondering, which one is that?
That is, come on, a Santorum? The guy who he said all sorts of things about us, basically killing people without asking their consent.
Well, yeah, we think he's weird too. So that's sorry to get you off track. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Just wanted to tell everyone that that's not actually true. What are you saying? Anyway, if you make taxonomies like that for people and for places and for other stuff, then you can create the most cool pages after that. It's very, very easy to suddenly make a people archive where you have all the news about a certain person and enhance that a bit with other data you have in your WordPress database. If you do that well, you get a ridiculously easy system to create pages that will rank for person names and for all sorts of things that actually carry a lot of traffic. If you do that on a TMZ or any other a gossip blog and you start ranking for stuff like Britney Spears, you'd suddenly notice that there's a certain difference in traffic between some keywords. I've seen one site rank number 5 for Britney Spears for a while, and I thought I'd seen traffic. But number 5 for Britney Spears was scary. So if you think about stuff like that, then there's a whole lot of things you can do with custom taxonomies. To show you, this is my front page where you see posts, but I also have several custom post types with their own custom taxonomies, plugin reviews, WordPress best practices. And these actually also share some taxonomies. So I use tags across all of them. So I have several post types, but I can tag them, and using that I can show related WordPress best practices to posts without any problem whatsoever. There's also a very, very cool plugin if you're playing with this sort of stuff by Scribu. It's called Post to Post, which is makes it ridiculously easy to connect certain post types to each other without needing a taxonomy. So you could say, like, okay, I've got this this company and these seven companies below it, and you can just relate them using that post-to-post interface. It's really, really cool. I might show that later on.
You know, actually, that brings up a point, Yos. It would be really great to have a list of all these, a list of links.
I'll definitely they're actually in my notes for this presentation, so okay. I'll send this presentation and the notes to that for to Andrea.
Fantastic.
So you'll get that. There will be a lot of links, especially as we'll probably have more. That one indeed. Dan, that Dan has just posted into the chat the proper link. So to show you a bit what you can do with these custom post types, because I don't think a lot of people are using those nicely. It's very easy to actually add custom fields and some custom taxonomies and make these have their own layout, which basically makes WordPress into a full-blown CMS. Before these, WordPress was a blogging system. Now it's a full-blown content management system that can basically do anything that Drupal can, but with a better user interface. You can hear I'm a fanboy, right? One of the things people ask me about a lot is my WordPress SEO plugin has breadcrumbs in them. And people ask me, why is that? That's not related to SEO, is it? And I'm like, yeah, it is. It's probably more related than most people dare to think. It creates a structure that makes it really easy for Google to understand your website if used well. So
on the search results.
Sorry?
Sure looks nice on the search result pages.
To be honest, that's the only thing I have against it. Let me show you. I think you can all see my screen now, right? So if you see my result here, you see the articles here, right? If I didn't have breadcrumbs, I'd have an extra bolt there. And in most of my testing, that actually increased click-through more than the this did.
So now say that over again. If you did not have breadcrumbs, what would you have instead?
It would show the full URL.
Oh, yes.
And it would bold WordPress SEO in the URL.
Yeah, now I'm following you. Yep, that's true.
And you're missing that now by this change. The thing is that the value of that went away a bit when I got my author highlight, this thing here. Uh-huh. But to be honest, I don't think most people will get an author highlight.
Well, but you know, it's not clear to me your breadcrumbs are what are creating the breadcrumbs there at Google, frankly, because we see them on pages and search results where there's no breadcrumb on the indexed page, but the breadcrumb is created at Google.
Yeah, they do all sorts of weird things at the moment to your results that make me mad. That's one of them.
Yeah, we're with you there. So, yeah, changing title tags, that's my favorite. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Well, the funny thing is when you have an SEO plugin like I do, and people write crappy titles, and Google starts changing these titles for them because they're crappy, and then they start emailing me that my plugin doesn't work because their title tags aren't showing up.
Yeah.
Try explaining to someone who is not that proficient in SEO and hasn't read all the latest blog posts what is actually happening.
Do we have any experience doing that, Dan? Yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's painful. So that's the sort of thing that makes me mad. And the funny thing is that these author highlights also come and go. It's like every other week they have a bug where they won't show for a couple of days. And they actually do impact traffic quite a bit, so I notice immediately.
So are you finding you're finding when your picture is there, your traffic does go up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, by about 20 to 30%.
Okay, yeah, that's worth it.
Hey, while you're on Google, why don't you just do a quick search for rel equals author?
Yeah, you mean the one where I outrank Google?
Outranking Google.
Well, yeah, as you should, of course, but yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'll be totally honest. I know why I've ranked them, because they link to me here.
Well, also, you're logged in. I'm not sure I'd get the same result, but...
You would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying...
Yeah, Google's FAQ actually links to Yoast. That's I went frugal launched Google product search now. I outranked them for about 2 months because they were linking to me from their press section.
Yeah.
And eventually they removed that link.
Now, the funny thing is that Google has been better at this sort of stuff. They reach out to me every once in a while to help them before they release stuff like this to see whether this could be implemented in WordPress core. So for rel equals author, I did some changes to WordPress core in 3.2. Where the rel equals author is automatically added to author links. So if you have an author link on a blog that links to your posts page on that blog, it will automatically have rel equals author now if you do it in the correct way. So they actually do actively reach out to some people to get sort of stuff like that fixed just in core, so they don't have to explain to everyone.
That's good. That's good.
Which makes sense.
So now that's going to be, I mean, we just updated the 3.3.1, I guess, the current version. So that's going to be in core for that release.
No, I think it was in core in 3.2, yeah.
Okay, good.
So that doesn't mean that you immediately have these author highlights, because it takes a bit more work. There's a few things. You need the rel equals author from your posts pages to your author page on your blog. Then your author page on your blog should link to your Google Plus profile and vice versa. And to make it even harder, the link from your blog to your Google Plus page should have rel equals me on it.
Yeah, we've been around this circuit several times.
We covered
times.
That in the webinar just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, well, it's painful. And then people say, yeah, I've done all that right. And you look at the Google Plus profile and their plus ones are in public. And if those aren't public, you won't get offer highlights or stupid stuff like that. That nobody can explain why it is that it works like that. Anyway, so I think breadcrumbs are very important. And in most cases, I'll add them to any blog that I work on. And usually linking, it's very easy to set up in my plugin, but there's a couple of other plugins as well that do these. But usually linking not just to the homepage from your blog post, but also to the category. So your category pages get strengthened. Because if you do it well and you have you picked your categories correctly, then actually ranking with your category pages is usually a very, very good strategy of trying to rank for the harder keywords. As soon as you do that, though, you should make sure that you don't suffer from double vision and use stuff in a double way. I do a lot of website reviews, and I almost always encounter people having a category, for instance, a category analytics and a tag analytics, and every post would have both the category and the tag. Meaning that those archive pages for that category and the tag would be identical and of absolutely no use. So make sure that you pick a correct strategy for that and don't do it double, then you have a lot more fun that way. This is a painful topic for a lot of people, permalink structure in WordPress, because up until 3.3, having post name as a permalink structure wasn't recommended because of performance. I always said bullshit, just get a better server and still do it. But luckily they fixed it, and now in 3.3 it actually doesn't have any performance penalties anymore, so everyone should just use postname or category postname. There's really no reason to have a date in URLs in 99% of the cases. I don't know whether you guys have strong opinions on that, Leslie and Dan, but...
We strongly agree.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used anything except postname. Yeah, screw the machine.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you had, before 3.3, if you had a lot of pages, then this would become very painful because of how the query was done internally, but luckily they fixed that. I have to say that performance-wise, for stuff like that, WordPress has been improving fairly rapidly over the last 3-4 releases. Core team is doing a quite good job of fixing that. One of the things that's on the slate for one of the future releases to get fixed in core, but that you need a plugin for now, is proper pagination. By default, all WordPress themes and etc. will link to the previous page and the next page, which is kind of painful if you have lots of posts. So you need something that creates a look and feel like this, which technically for those a bit more technically inclined, is a B-tree, basically a method whereby each page is as close by as possible, so you can get to each page in the least number of clicks. I use WP Page Navi. There are a couple of other ones that are quite okay, but make sure that you have proper pagination on each category or other archive within your site, because otherwise it's just... you're going to send Google down a dead-end street, basically.
Okay, one more time. That was WP Page Navi? Is that what it's
called? Yeah. Let me... I'll type it out for you if I can find my mouse.
And remember, guys, you don't have to worry too much about these because we'll include all these links when we post the replay.
But if you want to Google it, that's it. A while back, Google introduced rel next and rel pref, and that should help Google with these types of paginations. That is not in core yet, but will be in core in 3.4 if I get my way. But it is, if you as soon as you enable my WordPress SEO plugin, that gets done correctly by default. There's not even an option to disable it. Because I've been cutting down on options in my plugin. So it does a lot of stuff like that automatically without you needing to do anything. And then we get to the most painful of things in regards to 9 out of 10 WordPress themes. Because while WordPress itself is fairly search engine friendly, most WordPress themes are just pure crap.
Is that
usually,
really true?
Yes.
Is that really true? Most of them are crap. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, most of everything, any endeavor is crap. So.
Yeah. let me be honest. There are the few big names out there are reasonably okay. So Genesis is quite good. Thesis in what it puts out in HTML-wise, etc., is quite good. I hate how it works internally, but that's just a developer's annoyance. Woo Themes is a bit has a bit more stuff in there that shouldn't be there, in my opinion, but most Woo Themes tend to be quite okay. So if you go for these big names, then you're usually quite okay, but there's a lot of optimization to be done in most cases. You see, what I'd like to see is a structure, as I show here, where the content of a page is on top, and then you get related posts, and then you get your main navigation and your utilities in that order in the HTML. Whether you show it that way on screen is not really any of my concern. But this is what I would prefer in the HTML, and there are hardly any themes that do this well.
Now, what are you referring to as utilities in that? Is that sidebars, or what are we...
Yeah, and disclaimers, privacy policy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So footer stuff. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, Yeah, but a lot of these themes tend to now have two navigations on the top. So you have your main navigation and then a navigation with like contact, hire me, and some other stuff in the header.
Right.
And linking to the sitemap as well, et cetera. And because of how most people build their WordPress themes, then these links are in the top of your page as well, which is an annoyance.
Yep, true.
Especially if those menus have drop-downs. Some people seem to think that 50 menu items is quite okay, and I don't think it's okay. If you have a main menu with like five items, then it's not really an issue. But if you have a drop-down menu with five main items and then 5 to 10 items underneath each in a drop-down, that basically means 50 links before the search engine has even seen your content. And that is just an issue in some cases.
Right.
So once you get stuff like that done, then you usually find out that you've slowed down your WordPress install. And with my most we have a need for speed as users, but Google has been showing a need for speed lately as well. Don't know if any of you have ever encountered ranking number 3 for a certain term and then suddenly dropping to number 5 because it's a very hard equilibrium to keep, and because these other two sites below you are just a tad bit faster. And yes, that has happened to me several times. And then it's just you need to make sure that your site is as fast as possible. Now, Google has, with Google PageSpeed, made it incredibly easy to test what you can do to speed up your site. And there's a lot of documentation in how you could do all that. But for most people, that's way too geeky. Luckily, there's a plugin called W3 Total Cache by my good friend Frederick that can take care of all of this for you. The only slight issue with this as well is that it has a lot of options that you need to figure your way around. So it has a very extensive FAQ that you should read, but and otherwise just hire someone to set this up properly for you. It can do wonders for your page load time. I combined that with a couple of other things. A very simple plugin called Use Google Libraries, which will automatically load jQuery and all the other JavaScript libraries that Google has on its own CDN from Google's CDN instead of from your site. So the only thing you have to do is install and activate the plugin. There's no settings or whatever. You just do that and it runs, and it will automatically load jQuery from Google instead of from your server. And it might not seem like a whole lot, but because it does that, if a lot of people start doing that and more people are starting to do that, then people might already have jQuery in their cache when they visit your site. And since jQuery is about 170K and often is like 1/3 or 1/4 of the entire page download, that might actually speed up your site tremendously for them. Plus, it has the benefit of you not having to pay for the bandwidth of loading jQuery.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Most of the people on this call are pretty technical and they follow this, but I'm getting a few what's on this one. Is it possible to explain this one in plain English?
Absolutely. Let me grab my browser and show you what happens.
Not sure what jQuery is.
jQuery is a JavaScript library that is used to perform almost all the functionality in your browser that is made without reloading the page. So if you can slide something around in your WordPress backend, or if you have a slider on your front page, stuff like that is usually built with jQuery when using WordPress. There are a lot of
themes depend on jQuery.
Yeah, most, if not all, themes load jQuery at some point. jQuery is the default in WordPress core, so that's why most themes use jQuery as well. There are other libraries as well, but for WordPress, it's actually jQuery is the way to go. And this is a file. Let me see if I actually load it myself. I think I do somewhere. So it's a file that looks like this, which doesn't say anything to you and doesn't have to. But it's fairly big, as you can see. I mean, this is quite compressed, but it's still a fairly big chunk of functionality. So if you load that from your own server, you're actually loading a lot of content extra on each page that could be coming from another way faster server, being Google's. So
because it's loading from a different domain, it's actually opening an additional connection in your browser, so it's not limited by four connections. Absolutely. Or whatever your browser is doing.
Yeah. So your browser can only open eight connections, usually only open eight connections at the same time to any server. But if you use a couple of servers, it can open more connections than that. So there are several ways that you can use that. You can use that for stuff like this. You can also use that for a so-called content delivery network for your images. So you can load images and CSS and other stuff from another server is where your main HTML is coming from. Was that enough, Andrea, or are you still getting ahs and ahs?
Not quite
enough.
Thank you. One other question that's kind of tied to all of this. What's a good load speed to shoot for? What's our aim here?
Under 2 seconds.
Yeah, zero if you can do it.
Yeah, zero is great. if you can do under 2 seconds, that is something you should probably aim for. And you should also note that this really depends on your download speed. So you should be a bit... I mean, under 2 seconds on my connection could still be a 2 megabyte front page.
Which would be so, yeah.
You need to think a bit about people on slower connections, and Google will actually show you in Google Webmaster Tools whether it thinks your site is slower or faster than anyone else. Let me show you now for my own domain, which is scary because it's actually slower than it should be.
Well, and the other thing is to use something like YSlow and look at where the speed is being limited by. Is it really the size of the downloads, or is it the response time of the server, or the total number of HTTP connections, and that kind of thing? And so a lot of those things you can optimize away, and for exactly the same total download, if you just rearrange things or package up the code differently, you can reduce the observed page load time.
Yeah. So if you go to Google Webmaster Tools, and if you don't have a Google Webmaster Tools account for your site, shame on you, get one as soon as possible. If you go into Google Webmaster Tools and then to the labs, and there's a site performance tab here where you can see that what it actually tells you. And Google always says this line at about a second and a half. Actually, you can see my site loads in about 4 to 5 seconds. What they do here is they take a sample of people using the Google toolbar that come to your website. And so they take about 1,000 visitors that come to your website that use the Google toolbar, and they send back the download speed or the load time for that page. And then use that to make this graph. As you can see, my homepage I've worked a bit on, and it's actually 1.9. But the other pages on my site that are a bit heavier have a bit more issues. So you can look at that and play with that. And it's actually one of the things that will not only help a bit in ranking, so it's really not that important in most cases, but it's also a tremendous improver of conversions for most people and average page views per visit. So
talking about speed, it's okay, SEO, yeah. Sure, it might help you, but it's going to help you with conversion anyway, so go faster.
Yeah, it's the amount of page views you can get from stuff like that just by making your site quicker because people have to wait less. It's just very, very useful.
Yeah, we're working on a hack that we're getting ready to release with our members and test out to to do some page load time sampling with JavaScript and then stuff that into Google Analytics as a custom variable, because the page speed data in Google Analytics doesn't give you any idea of the impact on performance. So we're hoping to get a whole mountain of data on what the curve looks like in terms of improving conversion as you go faster for different types of sites.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You can do a lot of cool things with that. One of the things I don't know whether you people use my Google Analytics for WordPress plugin. One of the things I'm actually adding to that in the coming week is a change where you can set the sample rate for the page speed stuff in Google Analytics. Because by default, Google will measure the page speed with Google Analytics for one out of every 100 visitors. If you don't have that many visitors yet, then that actually might be a very low threshold. So you wouldn't have any data. Another plugin that I can't recommend enough to people is WP Smush It. It's very, very simple. You install it, and what it will do is it will automatically, when you upload a new image, it will reduce that image in size by running it through the Smush It API. Smush It is a service that will take all of the data in it in their photo data and all other stuff that doesn't need to be there. It will take that out of it and it will make the image smaller without losing any quality. So you'll get smaller images in some cases up to like 30-40% without losing any image quality.
And it just does everything that's in WP content then? And everything in the...
No, it will only do it for new uploaded files. You can smush old files with it as well. There's an admin interface for that.
Got it.
Yeah. So it'll show up in your... what you see here is what you would see in your media library.
Right.
Then we all have these days, these social buttons. And you can try and make your site as fast as possible. If you load Facebook the wrong way, then your site will be slow as hell. And I say that while loving Facebook for everything it is, but it's like both Facebook and Twitter are incredible performance hogs. It is actually very easy to, it's fairly easy to load these things differently so they don't affect your page load time as much. What I tend to go for is make them load as soon as possible, but after the visitor has been able to start reading. So make sure your content loads first and shows up first properly, and then start loading stuff like this. There's a very good post by Frederick who wrote W3 Total Cache as well about how to optimize these buttons. I'll add a link to that in the notes later on.
That sounds great. Thank you for that.
Then there's a couple of ways of testing. Next to Google page speed, you can also use this tools.pingdom.com. They actually have a new design for it right now. This is an old screenshot. But it shows you in a waterfall model which types of files you're downloading and how these are dropping into your browser, where you can really see like, okay, these files are very large and these are causing issues. As you can see here, I'm actually on this page, SpriteMe, which is the tool that's on my next slide. It actually has a lot of small images that it's downloading, and there's a way of getting around that. The thing is, a small image in itself isn't bad. If you have a lot of small images, your browser has to open a connection to your server every time, which makes it slow. So what we try to do is combine these into things called sprites. And SpriteMe is a ridiculously easy tool that will actually make these sprites for you and will tell you how to do this in CSS. Awesome. It's a tool by Steve Souders, who works for Google. And yeah, this has saved me so many hours of coding. So you can just play around with these and combine them, make them into a sprite. It will give you both the image and the CSS changes that you have to, that you need to make. And then you can have, then you can combine like 8 or 10 or even 25 small images on your site into one big image that gets loaded a lot faster. Now, it's very easy to go overboard with this. So if you have a lot of images on your site, to make one sprite for everything. But what you will get then is that you'll have a white page when it's loading up for a while, and then suddenly, boom, all the images will be there, which is not really the intended behavior. So in that case, it's usually a better idea to turn them into a couple of sprites instead of just one big one. So much for performance now. If there are any questions about performance, I'd love to answer them now or later on, but I'm going to go into the next section. So I don't know if you have any right now, Andrea.
Let's keep going, unless Dan or Leslie have one right here.
Perfect. Okay. So we've got content. We've gotten pretty quick at serving it to Google. And to our visitors. Now we actually want to tell Google where all that stuff is. So there's two ways of doing that. One is waiting for Google to discover it, which really isn't a bad method at all. But especially if you're blogging and you want to be a bit quicker about what people are searching for, you want to respond to that, then you need to be need to feed Google a bit more about that stuff. Well, there's two ways, and funnily enough, Google is very, very good with RSS feeds. So whatever you do with XML sitemaps, which I'll talk about after this, you really, really should make sure that your RSS feed is submitted as a sitemap in Google Webmaster Tools. It's really easy. You just go into Webmaster Tools, you add /feed to your sitemaps, and it'll pick that up so fast it'll scare you at times. I know that I can now do a new blog post on my blog and search for my own content within 30 seconds. That is the sort of thing that we couldn't have done 2-3 years ago. And it'll take a bit more time if it's using XML sitemaps. So RSS feeds are really good for that because they're usually quite small and easy to pick up. XML sitemaps are a better way of showing Google all the content that is on your site. In my WordPress SEO plugin, there's actually a thing that will create these for you. As you can see, it creates an index sitemap and then creates sitemaps per post type and per taxonomy, to keep them small and make it easier for Google to pick up the right ones. Especially, as you can see, it has a last modified date for each and every one of them, which means that Google isn't going to pick up XML sitemaps that actually haven't changed. Recently, Google changed the design of how that looks in Google Webmaster Tools, which I was very happy with. Because what I do in my plugin is that I add images and URLs. So you'll see, for instance, for my post sitemap, that there are 675 URLs in there, and that it has indexed 673 of those. But you'll also see that there are 455 images in my XML sitemap. Now, the indexed numbers for images are weird. I've never seen those be correct anywhere, but it's good to know that in all of my XML sitemaps might contain both. So if there are images in your posts, it will try to automatically add those to your XML sitemap to increase your visibility in Google Image Search as well. That can work wonders for people with a lot of good images and good alt texts, etc., for those images.
Now, are you finding, Yost, that 37 then is not the real number, that in fact...
No, there are way more.
Way more. Yeah, one wonders why they're reporting such a low number then.
My guess is because they didn't know.
Yeah, that would be my guess too. Yeah.
It's just that image search is sometimes a bit weird. So it might be that these 37 are the ones shown in Universal. I honestly don't know. It's just that I know that there are more because I get traffic for more. So but those are, I'm happy that they show it like this. A while back, it would say just URLs, and it would call every sitemap that had images in them an images sitemap. So I would get emails like, I don't want an images sitemap, I want a normal URL sitemap. Yeah, those are in there as well, but Google doesn't know how to show you that. So that I'm very happy that they changed the design of this.
It's good that you're doing tech support for Google's webmaster tools, Yoast. That's nice of you.
Oh, I end up doing that an awful lot, and they know that, luckily, so they help me out every once in a while as well. But yeah, you end up doing stuff like that an awful lot. And the same goes for Bing, but not a whole lot of people use Bing Webmaster Tools, unfortunately, because it's actually quite good. But yeah, in the next release of my WordPress SEO plugin, there will also be support for Yandex. I don't know if there's anyone optimizing for Russia here, but Yandex actually has Webmaster Tools as well that are quite good. And recently, I was hacked on Yoast.com, and Yandex caught it before Google and Bing did. And I got an email from Yandex Webmaster Tool saying this and this page has been hacked or has spam on it. But the cause of that was a hack, and they actually alluded to that in the email already. So yeah, these Webmaster Tools from Bing, from Google, from Yandex, they're all pretty cool, and I think that if you're a bit quite serious about your site, you should probably use all of them.
Okay, there's one question that keeps getting asked, so do you mind if I ask that now?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Jerry, for example, is saying, so should we add both XML sitemap and feed to Webmaster Tools?
Yes.
Okay, and then how about video sitemaps? Are they necessary?
Yeah, they're awesomely cool. Let me show you something that I'm working on a video sitemap module for my WordPress SEO plugin that I'm testing right now. As you can see, it works. It works so well that I get to rank with the image of Matt Cutts in the search results, which is awesomely funny, especially when Matt Cutts sometimes opens up his screen on a conference and people see that search stuff. It's really funny. Video sitemaps are really cool. You should combine them with a couple of other things. So if you do video, you should also do Facebook open graph tags on your video page to make sure that Google properly recognizes the video as well. Google will actually recognize the Facebook video tags. And use those for indexing. But video sitemaps are very, very, very powerful. It's very easy to rank with a video these days, way easier than to rank with a normal page.
You know, so have you found a good video player plugin that handles HTML5 video for the iDevices and creates the video sitemaps? We've been using one called S3 Flow Shield off and on that creates a video sitemap, but they haven't got the HTML5 video support in yet.
No, to be honest, what I've built for myself basically uses all the bigger video platforms. Uh-huh. So you just do a Vimeo OMBAT. You don't need any other plugin than that, and it'll do it automatically. And since Vimeo does HTML5 correctly in most cases, I think that should solve it.
Beautiful, thank you.
It should be released probably somewhere around the end of next month. It needs a bit more testing. So I've talked about my own plugins a bit already. I'll talk about them a bit more. But to be honest, the biggest thing with plugins these days is one thing. It's called preventing malice. There are so many crappy plugins out there that get people hacked every time that I thought it would be wise to quickly show you what you should be looking for when you're installing new plugins. So this is a basic WordPress.org landing page. And there's a couple of things that you should take note of before installing a plugin. First of all, is the number of ratings. If it has only one rating, chance of it being a good plugin is close to zero. The same goes for when the last updated date is more than 6 months ago, or when the change log, which should be in the menu there, isn't there or hasn't been updated. It's simple stuff like that, and it can show you whether the plugin author actually gives a shit. And if they don't, then you probably shouldn't be running their code in your site. We as the WordPress.org people, I don't work for them, but I do a lot of work with a lot of these people. The plugins get disabled on WordPress.org fairly regularly for being very easy to hack into. So you should be aware of that, and you should be aware that when you add a plugin, you're adding code that hasn't been tested by as many people as WordPress itself has been, and that is usually the vector of attack people choose when they want to hack your blog. I say that as someone who gets hacked twice a month, regardless of which plugins I run, probably because people just like hacking me, but getting hacked with WordPress is a serious issue, and so you should make sure that you take some precaution when installing plugins. So there's one plugin you should, of course, install, which is my WordPress SEO plugin, and not because of all the fancy stuff I talked about before, but mostly because of this.
I don't know why you... Beautiful, Yoast. You're my hero for that. Snippet preview.
Yeah.
I
actually didn't come up with that. I think it was SEO Mofo who created the first one on the web.
Yeah, I've been building these things by hand in content management systems with JavaScript for almost 10 years. But to see it, I can just click and install is awesome.
Yeah, you'll see there's a small bug in this screenshot. I took this this afternoon, and it's limiting my meta description because it's a video snippet when it's not a video snippet. So there's a small bug in my own code right now on my own site. This should help you tremendously in creating content. This and the next feature, which is the page analysis. Which should help you to do things that are basically usually considered important for good SEO. I should note that the keyword density is in there. I don't care about keyword density all that much, which is why it goes green at, like, I think at 0.9%. I just want to make sure that if you have a focus keyword, which you enter in here,
use it on the page.
you should actually use it. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't. The funny thing is, I've had a couple of people email me because when your keyword density is over 5%, it goes red, and it starts saying that is an issue. People email me, I've always been taught that 8% is a good keyword density. No, it's not. So that's why it turns red. It's because I have an opinion.
8% may have actually been okay when a normal page size was about 2,000 words. But now our pages are 10, 12, 15,000 words when you include all the stuff on them. And so 8% of 15,000 would be stuffing.
Well, and even 8% of 200, because it just counts the words in your article.
I know. Yeah, it never really made a lot of sense, but I mean, it's
well, the funny thing is, it did in the past. Before it worked wonders.
Yeah, yeah, but that was Alta Vista.
Yeah, that's when we used to double cloak our content.
Yes. Yes.
One with the real stuff for search engines, and one with the malice that we wanted to spread to our competitors who were scraping us. Yeah, that's for us oldies. For all new people in the industry shouldn't really care about stuff like that. The thing is, I can't stress enough that you should be using this for each and every post you write, and that you should be teaching your editors to use this. This is why I wrote the plugin in the first place. I want people to write better content. And this is in use on Search Engine Land and on Mashable and on the Next Web and on all these sites. We've seen quite a considerable uptake in traffic for new posts as compared to old posts. So this question I get an awful lot. I've been using all-in-one and all-in-one SEO, and I want to switch to WordPress SEO. What do I do? Well, you do two things. You install WordPress SEO, you disable all-in-one SEO, and then you go to the import section in my WordPress SEO plugin and you import. It's as easy as that, and then you're done. If you're using any of the other SEO plugins or themes or anything else, then Nathan Rice, who works for StudioPress, who built Genesis, has built a plugin called SEO Data Transporter that helps you migrate data from one plugin to another, or from a theme to a plugin, or wherever you go. This data being your meta descriptions, your specific SEO titles, stuff like that. And it will help you move those from one to the other without any issue. I think he can't be commended enough for building something like that when you're one of the people building a theme that has this sort of functionality in it, that you actually make it easy for people to get away from your stuff as well. So I've done my fair share of contributions to that to add more plugins. But SEO Data Transporter comes highly recommended. As always, links to this will be sent later on. And then there's my Google Analytics for WordPress plugin, which still is my most downloaded plugin and probably is one of the things that, if you're using Google Analytics, you should be using, because it makes it very easy to set all sorts of custom variables.
Can I interrupt you real quick, Yost? Because I want to say one thing about SEO plugins. You know, the thing that I liked most about your SEO plugin when it came out was that it didn't do anything. That is, a lot of these SEO plugins that are still bumping around out there will throw no index and no follow on tag pages and category pages, all kinds of stuff that we consider worst practices for WordPress SEO. And these are pages you might actually want to get ranked if you're doing you know, your taxonomy right. If your structure is right, those pages are good pages. But just so you understand, Yoast's plugin doesn't do any SEO for you, because there isn't any SEO to do for you. It's all about
There are a couple of things that I do now by default, because I think that just should be done. So I no index your admin pages. I no index your.
That's probably fair.
I no index your login and registration pages.
Oh, I don't know. That has some good content on it.
And I do no index search results by default as well.
So pretty much all of the best practices that should be done.
Yeah.
With that, basically Google says that you should do, I do. So, and that's what I try to do. But yeah, I agree. The options are in there in my plugin to no index specific taxonomies, but in most cases you shouldn't. Just as there's an option in my plugin to disable author archives entirely, or to disable date archives entirely, that doesn't mean that you should use them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about this is it lets me do everything that I would want to do with SEO pretty much without having to go find another plugin. I can edit my robot's text. I can do whatever I would want to do, and I can do it all in one place. So anyway, I mean, just I can't strongly enough recommend and endorse Yoast SEO plugin, but it's nowhere near as good as the Analytics plugin.
Yeah, so Google Analytics for WordPress, just try it out. And especially advanced features, if you play a bit with Google Analytics, then you'll see that there's an awful lot of power hidden that most people don't use. Stuff like setting a custom variable for an author of each post, so you can easily see page views per author for your site, which could be very useful if you're a multi-author site. Stuff like that is really, really cool. It does PHP tracking as well. We've talked about that before. I thought I'd mention it. Google has moved this to another position within the new Google Analytics interface. I get lost in that all the time. But yeah, it is important to look at these things. And with that, I'm at the end of my presentation.
Well, there's one thing I want to call out about the WordPress analytics plugin, and that is the that you're now using the asynchronous method, which is something that we've been telling people pretty much since it came out that they'd rather implement, but it hasn't always been the easiest thing to do in WordPress. And now
it could be painful.
Plugin, you want it anyway to be able to set custom variables and see what the difference is between logged in versus not logged in users and all those kind of additional things that are, you have visitor variables set by default for Google for new and returning visitors, for example, but there are things that are specific to WordPress sites and content management system and community type sites that you would do with WordPress. That Yoast's plugin lets you just check a box and it's happening. The data's going into analytics and you don't have to do anything else. So it's just fantastic for a lot of the purpose, the different things that we teach people to do. It's all in one place.
Thanks. I'll get all these endorsements in writing, right?
Well, we usually we transcribe everything, so yeah, it'll be there.
So I have a question. Leslie and I had a question before we let any of the people who showed up to ask you questions ask questions. We noticed that you're cutting down on the number of ads on your site, and this would be a good time, I guess, for us to disclose that, full disclosure, we've been paying Yoast $300 a month for advertising, and we're thinking about bumping that up to $500 to buy one of the 4 ad slots that you have now as opposed to 8. And probably the first thing we'll advertise is the replay of this webinar because we should get great click-through on that. But one of the first things that Leslie asked when I told him, hey, Yoast is cutting down the number of ads, he said, gosh, I wonder if that's about Google's page layout and excessive advertising. I kind of couldn't imagine that it would be, but actually it's not, right? It's about...
No, it's not. It's basically about me getting a new design in a couple of weeks, if all goes well, and wanting to sell more of my own stuff and less of your stuff.
Purely mercenary reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, just to make money. I haven't been affected by any of those updates, luckily. To be honest, I find that the people I see affected by those, and I see a lot of bloggers that email me because they're affected by those, are mostly people running, different ads than mine. Usually either very crappy affiliate ads or AdSense.
Well, the funny thing is how we ended up advertising on your site. I think I was giving you a hard time on Twitter about one of the advertisers being kind of spammy.
Yeah.
Kind of blog network or something, and you said, okay, I got rid of it. Hey, would you like to buy an ad?
Yes.
Gosh, really, it's that cheap? You bet. No problem. That was an easy call.
Well, the funny thing is it was making me fairly decent money. I mean, it's not... But yeah, it was making me okay money, and I liked seeing what kind of people would want to advertise on my site. But in the end, I'm doing the blog and all the other things because A, I like doing it, and B, because it gets me clients. And if I miss one client because he sees too many ads on my site, then it's not worth it. And see the kind of clients I do consulting for now are so big that it for me it actually felt weird to have a lot of advertising on my site when you're also taking paychecks from companies like Facebook.
I would imagine that I mean anybody that's running a news site or anything like that. Ought to at least be tempted to talk to you at this point, and You may mention it later, but you do this really cheaply right now.
Yeah, well, those are the website reviews. Yeah, those are pretty cheap. And they're cheap for a reason, because I want to stay accessible to the normal public instead of just working for the big guys. So I work for eBay. I did some work for Tribune. I work for Facebook, companies like that. And I charged them quite a hefty day rate. But I don't want to work for just those big companies, because then I would only see a very small portion of the web.
Yeah, you lose track of what's really going on.
If I've learned one thing as a corporate SEO, is that you lose track of what's actually happening.
Yeah, speaking of what's happening, Andrea tells me that we've got, I think she said, a ton of questions. I'm not sure how much a question weighs. I'm not sure. Maybe longer questions weigh more. But we should probably actually see what the broader web that's on this phone call, at least, has to ask you about.
Let's do that. Absolutely. I'm trying to see whether I can see those questions somewhere as well, but I think only Andrea can, right?
Yeah, probably. Let me give you some of those.
We just usually make her do that.
Okay, and first, really quickly, Yost, thank you so much for that presentation. Wonderful information, and there are so many questions. We could start now, and I think we'd be here for 2 weeks if we went nonstop. Anyway, there's some places on the screen that are ways to get a hold of Yost, and we have conversations like this a lot in SEO Brain Trust. Dan and Leslie are available on a weekly Q&A call, weekly coaching call, and our members call in and talk with them and get their questions answered. And if you want to find out more about us, we're at seobraintrust.com. Okay, let's start with this. This is kind of a fun one. Yost.com is at the domain yost.com without the www, which I think is set in Google Webmaster Tools. My question is that for SEO purposes?
No, it's just because I hate www.
Hear, hear.
What a dumb idea.
It's kind of like the flash that you got to stick in. What are they for?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so, you know, there's no real reason for that. To be honest, I do run a couple of other sites where I do have it, because for several geo-hosting options, you actually need a www. So sometimes it's useful. For Yost.com, I don't need it, so I just don't add it.
All right, so there were several questions about S3. For example, Colette says, what if you're using Amazon S3 to store all of your images? Is it better to store on your server and then do the optimizing that you talked about?
No. It's better to actually, it depends a bit on which plugin you use to do the S3 stuff. But usually you can do the optimization before it goes to S3. I do have to say, though, that S3 is by far not the best content delivery network out there. And a lot of people seem to think it's very cheap. And it is fairly cheap, but a lot of CDNs out there are fairly cheap as well now.
It's not even the best one Amazon offers.
No. And S3 is quite okay if you're in the US, but a small wake-up call to everyone listening who's in the U.S. I'm actually not in the U.S. I'm in Holland, in the Netherlands. A lot of your readers might be in Europe, and S3 is horrible here.
So, what perspective in terms of turnaround time, in terms of access?
Yeah, so S3 has only one data center in Europe, and that's in Ireland. And Ireland doesn't have the best connections to the rest of Europe.
Right, I don't think the British want them to have connections or something. But that's what I heard.
Okay, no, so what do you recommend then?
I use Max CDN myself. I like them an awful lot, and they're quite cheap as well. I think they're $25 for a first terabyte, and most people will never get through their first terabyte.
Max CDN, there you go, guys. I put that in the chat for you.
Well, let me give you a very good link for that.
Oh, here it comes.
Wait for it. Oh, I have to send it to everyone. Oh, I can't.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that real quick.
Your accomplice, Andrea, will do that for you.
I like MaxCDN a lot. MaxCDN integrates very well with W3 Total Cache as well, so the combination is very cool.
Okay, great. All right, you kind of gave me some good segues into a couple of the other questions. One of your fellow countrymen, Quincy, asked, do you recommend using a server that is closer to Google servers in the U.S. rather than in the Netherlands?
No, absolutely not. If you're in the Netherlands and your public is in the Netherlands, then your server should be in the Netherlands. It just depends on where the majority of your readers are. So my Yoast.com server is in Chicago. My Yoast.nl server is in Amsterdam. Hmm.
Okay. And remember, and like Yoast said, the speed sampling that Google is doing, they're using Google Toolbar users who are actually using your site. So if your users are in the Netherlands and you're hosted in the Netherlands and that makes you faster there, that's going to help you. It's not about how long it takes Google to fetch your page.
Yeah, I actually ran a host survey, a WordPress host survey on my blog yesterday, and I've had a lot of people enter that. And I'm absolutely shocked by the number of Europeans running their blog that are catering towards a European audience from a U.S. server. It's just ridiculous.
Although I think to some extent, I mean, I've bought hosting in both Europe and in the U.S. And actually, the U.S. hosting is a lower price. However, that doesn't that's not an
extent. Yeah, that used to be true in the past, but there because most companies in the U.S. now have servers in Amsterdam and London as well, or most, but a lot of them. There's really no need to anymore.
Well, I mean, even Rackspace. I mean, I've used Rackspace in both Europe and America, and their pricing is actually higher in Europe for European servers. But again, I mean, it's the real deal is what your conversion is going to be to your customers. So that's not an excuse. I'm just saying that maybe that's
your hosting cost should be a rounding error at the end of the day.
It should be.
Yeah, if your hosting cost is not a rounding error, then you're doing it wrong. And that doesn't say, by the way, that you should always be on a $5 a month hosting package because most of those suck.
Yeah. No doubt.
Okay. All right. Next question. Good. Okay. Is there any way to change future permalink structure without screwing up all the past posts? That's from Jara.
Nope. Unfortunately, not. It's one of my pet peeves. I would like for us to change that in WordPress core at some point, but I'm not seeing that happen anytime soon. I recently did a post with a small tool to help you do redirects if you're coming from specific permalink structures, but yeah, it can be a bit painful.
Okay, thank you. This is kind of a general question, but any thoughts on WordPress for mobile and mobile search?
It's just as good as any other system in that it doesn't have any specific things for it yet. And I don't think we'll have a lot of stuff in core. There are more and more good WordPress themes that are actually responsive, so they load nicely on iPhones, etc. Especially StudioPress seems to be leading the way in doing that, in making really cool ones. So those would be Genesis-based themes. And there are a couple of plugins that have some things for it. So W3 Total Cache, for instance, has a separate cache for mobile user agents and for normal user agents. And I'm going to be adding a mobile XML sitemap option to my SEO plugin soon. Once we have that, I don't think there are a lot of other CMSs out there that can actually beat that. So it just works. It's just you have to be aware of who you want to reach and whether you really need a lot of mobile when you design your site.
Okay. All right. Next question. Should we be dating our blog posts? I've heard other SEO experts say no. I want to date mine so the reader has a point of reference and knows that the post he's reading was written 5 years ago or 5 hours ago.
I've said no in the past. I said no. You shouldn't date them in the past. Unfortunately, Google has become a bit smarter at that recently. So they'll show a date on your blog posts sometimes, even when you don't have a date on your pages.
Well, as a user, I like them dated. Oftentimes, I'm searching for something, and I, you know, somebody says something is true, and I got to know, well, what version are they talking about? You run into that all the time.
No, it's true. It's a tactic to get more traffic sometimes, but not the very best of ones. I've gone back to actually dating all my posts because I do agree that it's the best for the user. And funnily enough, we're talking more and more to talk of Google that we think about the user first and about Google second.
Yeah, I mean that's the SEO prescription that Dan and I've been teaching for a number of years is that you don't want the tail to wag the dog, right? And so a ranking at number one that doesn't get any clicks, or worse, gets a bunch of clicks and doesn't make any money, is not real SEO. You know, that's pretend SEO or cocktail party SEO where you can brag about it, but you're still living in a house trailer, you know, even though you have a bunch of number one listings. So better to think about Google first.
Yeah, fully agree. All right, I've been doing the same for years, and I haven't had any clients hit by Panda, so must be doing something right.
Yeah, must be. Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, here's a question from a Joomla person. He says, are WordPress sites less likely to get hacked and more secure than a Joomla site?
No.
Yeah.
They're just as likely to get hacked. The thing is, if someone wants to enter, and really wants to enter, you can hack both of them in an instant.
Well, yeah, I mean, for one thing, I mean, if you, depending upon how you've installed MySQL or where, they could even find one of those hacks. So there's always a way to hack. The only non-hackable computer is one that has no access to the outside world.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine who goes by the nickname of Arsnake on the interwebs has shown me so many ways to get into a WordPress blog that he scared the shit out of me. And then I realized, yeah, that most of these aren't hacks in core. There are only, as far as I know, there are no real ways to hack a WordPress core install just by using WordPress. But there are always all these other mitigating factors around that will make it easy to hack, whether you're on bad hosting or lots of different reasons for your site to get hacked. So no, there's no specific reason for Joomla or WordPress to get hacked. What is true is that both of them sometimes make it very easy by having crap extensions.
Right. So the safest thing, although maybe not recommended, would be to remove your blog from the internet and then just blog via, say, Amazon by publishing your posts on Kindle.
Yeah.
That's a unique idea.
It's true.
I'm trying to figure out how to not get hacked because I'm tired of that.
Now there are some good services out there to that monitor your site for hacks. I like Sucuri, Sucuri, and they monitor your site, and then once you get hacked, they'll clean it up for you as well.
One more time, Sacuri.
Sorry, Sucuri.
Hopefully I got that right. Okay, that's
Good shout. That's how they say security in Alabama. Security.
I think it's Dutch.
No, it's not. Stuff, tools like that are quite useful. But yeah.
That's great. Thank you for that. Okay, I think this will be the last question we'll take today, and then I've been working behind the scenes to come up with a plan to get all of your other questions answered because, you know, we like everybody to be happy, and there are seriously so many questions. So I'll tell you our plan in just a second. Okay, Heath is saying, I use Thesis. Would your SEO WordPress plugin be overkill? It looks like it has a lot of interesting features, but I don't want the plugin installed with the theme if they don't work well together. And I think this is one of the beautiful things about your plugin. So can you answer that?
My plugin works with all well-coded WordPress themes, which means that it works with almost anything and not with Thesis.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that's because of the way the theme is built, right?
Yeah, Fies's main developer has a tendency of thinking he knows better, and for that reason, not using WordPress core functionality, which makes it incredibly hard to hook into stuff. So it works okay-ish now, but it doesn't work as it fully should. And I, for one, have stopped supporting Fies's.
Well, that's a bummer for me because mine's based on Fies's, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
you should fix that, Leslie.
And I'll be very honest there, the standard response I give to people asking me to help them with when their theme collides with my plugin is, okay, you've paid for that theme, right? Yeah, how much have you paid for that plugin? Exactly. Now go to the one you paid and make them fix it.
The thesis, of course, went a completely different path about how to manage the add-ins to that create what they call a theme or a framework now.
And yeah,
they're out in it's like a different code branch, and that's the challenge. Is not everybody has decided that was a good place to go, and because the thesis developers have sort of decided to be somewhat proprietorial about it, that's made it worse.
Yeah, so my advice would be to, at this point in time, not use the two together, and when you're up for a redesign, switch to something else.
Hmm. But it works fine with Genesis, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. Okay, there was an audible gasp when you said that. I could see it. So so Genesis is an alternative. What are a couple others that you...
Genesis has SEO functionality in the theme that will actually disable itself when my plugin is active. The same goes for Woo Themes. I think almost every other theme will do the right thing.
Works great with the one I'm using.
So if a plugin is if a theme is on WordPress.org, the chance of it working with my plugin is almost 100%. If a theme is not on WordPress.org, then you should check beforehand. But most will actually work.
All right, great. All right, so this is our plan for getting to the rest of these questions. There seriously are thousands. Behind the scenes, talk to Dan and Leslie into doing another webinar with you all and go through these questions. And Yoast, of course, would love to have you, so I'll tell you more about it. But if not, then we'll at least get you the questions beforehand that we don't have the answers to.
Okay. We'll figure something out. I've had fun so far, so I guess we'll...
Yes. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. So
happens when we have a good webinar is we end up having to do a second one just to deal with questions.
Well, I see there's about 650 people in the room or something, so I'm not really surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, we had over 2,000 registered, so yeah, I mean the replay will get a lot of traffic.
So. And I haven't even blogged about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was just that's just from emailing and a little bit of Facebook ads.
Yeah, I was testing your reach.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. All right.
All right, great.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Well, so you know where to find Yoast. He's on Twitter at Yoast, and his website is yoast.com.
And I didn't actually remove my email address, so you're all in luck.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You meant to take that off, so you could have looked at that. Anyway, so you know where to find him. If you're not using his plugins, you should be. And we'll get another webinar put together with the questions. Yes, we would love to have you if you can make it. Everybody on the call, thank you so much for your time today. And we'll see you soon at SEObrainTrust.com. Have a nice day, everyone.